Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, that twice-weekly podcast for people who make fine art with needle and thread. And I guess we would say the Happy New Year to everyone. That Happy New Year is a strange one to me. It's that one holiday where I've had people as late as the end of January say Happy New Year. I never get when you are supposed to stop saying Happy New Year. Easter, Hanukkah, Christmas, when it's over, you quit saying Merry Christmas, or you quit saying, it seems to have a natural end. But Happy New Year has kind of this open end, and I never quite understand it. And it's like people think the first time they see you after January 1st, they should say Happy New Year. I don't know. Weird thing to me. But anyway, Happy New Year for now. That's the last you'll hear from me. Let's see. We've got goals for next year. That topic comes up. And actually read today, Debbie Rowley's set a goal for next year. And I think it's a good one. I'm going to follow it. But goals bother me because with the stocking I've talked about many years that effectively took me 30 years to stitch for our son. The one big negative, other than the fact that it took me forever to stitch it, the one big negative was there was this annual pressure to get it done. There was this deadline. And that pressure would start to build in the summer. And then there'd be mentions from time to time from the family, well, is the stocking going to get done this year? And for me, it just took the fun out of it. And it was a real struggle. And when I finished it, it was one of those where I just set my teeth and said, this is getting done. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm tired of it hanging over my head. And I'm tired of feeling guilty every time I stitch something else because I'm not working on that stocking. But it's that deadline that bothers me. And so I swore when I got that done that that was the last time I would stitch anything to a deadline. I would apply a deadline for anything needlework-wise because it just, to me, it just, hey, if I don't want to do it this week, if I don't want to stitch on it this month, I should have that guilt-free right to set it aside. And if I don't ever get this one done, I shouldn't feel guilty for it. Now, of course, something that you make for your child or a relative, like a Christmas stocking, does need to get done. I mean, there's an inherent deadline to it. But it really was one of those where if I hadn't determined I was going to have it for this Christmas when the first year I started, and he was born on the 26th, so I started it shortly thereafter, and I had a full year to get it done and should have gotten it done. But I just swore I would never do that to myself. So when it comes to goals for a year, I just refuse to set them when it comes to needlework because it starts to apply that schedule, that pressure that to me just takes the fun out of the needlework. I should be able to do it when I want, how I want, for as long as I want. And so I just have really stuck to that. But Debbie Rowley had, I thought, an excellent goal. And her goal for the year is to stitch every day. And I think that's a good goal to me because that's something you can do. There's no pressure. And if you miss a day, that's not going to be the end of the world. But it's also a good goal in terms of keeping things moving, feeling like you're making progress, which I think deep in our minds is really one of the driving forces. If I start on a project and see that I'm making progress, then I'm more motivated to keep going. And so I liked that. Stitch every day. And she mentions in her blog post today that if she could do that, she would make progress on a lot of things. And I think that's a good thing. But also, I think it's that moment, that little bit of time where you can just take your mind away from other things. And even if it's a few minutes, and there have been some floss tube people doing I haven't run across any of them that have kept it up. But there was a brief moment there where people were saying some program where I'm going to sit down and do nothing else but stitch for 10 minutes a day, I think it was. I'm going to set aside 10 minutes. If it goes longer, if I have more time, fine. But at least 10 minutes. And more than one comment about how that just took gave you that moment. And so I think I'm going to follow that one. I'm going to struggle and fight to follow that. Now, with all my travel, that's unlikely to happen. It's already a goal I can't keep. But it's a goal that if I say I'm going to stitch every day that I have available, I'm going to stitch and at least a little bit. I think that I can do that. And I'll just, you know, the days that I'm traveling, I just, nothing I can do about it. Just not going to happen. And yeah, I usually have Neil to work with me on the road. But even then, a lot of days, I can't do it. Or the time I get back to the hotel at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, it just, you know, it's not happening. Because I invariably, when that happens, I got to be up and ready to go by 8 o'clock in the morning. So just not going to happen. Time I get email caught up and or caught up. Yeah, that's a dream. Time I get email at least looked at and addressed and things that needed to be handled. Traveling, stitching is always iffy. But I think that's a good goal. And all of us could have that and benefit from it, in that you'd at least make a little progress. You'd at least, you know, get a few stitches in and feel like you got somewhere. And that's going to be my goal. And I think it's minimal, but doable. And the rest of it, I'm not going to bother. And then I've been hassling Michelle Garrett, Bendy Stitchy, about her thing. She got 50 or 60 starts. She did a video, a whip parade or whatever it's called, of all the starts. I mean, she's been starting projects for the past 2 months like a maniac. And because she, what her goal is to go all of next year, all of 2019, without any new starts. And I think that also means she's not going to buy anything. We'll see. But she's not going to have any new starts. So instead, what she does is she sets up and starts, kits up and starts some 50 or 60 projects. And I mean, she's an electric needle anyway. So 50 or 60 to me sounds like a lifetime. But I think to her is probably the majority of them are doable. And some of them are not. Some are heaven and earth design projects that I don't care how fast you are, you're not going to get it done in a year. And some big samplers, a couple of hands across the sea samplers, those things take a long time because they're big. But she plows through stuff pretty fast. So I think what she's done is she's definitely set up enough projects to fill the year. And of course, she has a list of people. I'm one of them what day is it she's going to cave? But I think that's just all good fun and good stitching fun. And she's been terrific about it. I'd be curious to see that spreadsheet. I'm down for May 1. She caves by May 1. Arlene was smart. Arlene chose a date during a retreat where the peer pressure would be extremely high. And so while Arlene's cheering for her to go the whole year, she chose a date. I thought that was pretty smart, pretty savvy on Arlene's part. But I think on the more positive side of this thing, I think she set a fun goal and a fun challenge that certainly people who can stitch and cover and finish things as often as she does, I think is a fun challenge. You know, all right, I've got 60 pieces, 60 projects that are set up that are kitted, and I've at least put a few stitches in, meaning she's gone through all of the prep work, all of the cutting of the cloth, finding where she's going to start, all the threads are lined up, put on bobbins, however she does it. She's got them all in either in bags or rubber banded together, or however she's got them stored, doesn't matter. And probably has them on her little Wheel of Fortune app. But I think it's a fun challenge on a positive side, because look at what she has. Let's use 50 for an example, just for purposes of the discussion. Say she has 50. No, I'm gonna say 60. I think she has 60. 60. Projects that are lined up. Now, there is no way in a year's time that you can get bored with stitching. because she can stitch big projects, small projects. She can have any number of choices. You know, I want to stitch something with blue in it today. I feel like very colorful today. I feel like more of a monochrome black work type thing today. She has all the choices laid out before her, so she can find variety throughout the year. And it, if you can resist that part, and it's a tough resistance for all of us to not buy new things, if you can get past that, she really has a year full of fun all laid out before her. And I think that's kind of neat in its own little right, in, you know, from its own perspective. And it'd be interesting to see how she gets through the year and how she does that, because she buys a lot of projects, a lot of kits and charts throughout the year. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But she's really set herself up in a fun way for stitching, in that that 60 projects that are all lined up, and 60 projects, any one of which she can pick up at any time and start stitching. She doesn't have to go through the prep work and to start it. So I'm curious to see it play out. I think it's an interesting exercise for any stitcher, and certainly someone as prolific as her, to just give that a try and see how it comes out. And I think it's going to be an interesting journey to watch for her, and an interesting journey for the rest of us to see how she does. And she's one of the floss tube videos that I follow pretty regular. I don't think I've missed too many of them. Is Michelle Garrett's, and subscribe to her, and just interesting to follow and see what she does with it and how it plays out over the year. And still hanging on to May 1, but I think Arlene called it. I think she found the spot, the peer pressure spot. So we'll see how it goes. And when it comes to the prep work, I did a spur of the moment, spontaneous thing on New Year's Day. Happy New Year. Oh, no, I wasn't supposed to say it. On New Year's Day, I did a spontaneous thing. The Linen and Threads 2019 Mystery Sampler was announced. Now, those things in the past couple of years, when just a couple of years ago, I became aware of them. Not something I'm interested in, because they're massive projects. I'm terrible at doing these monthly things. I'm just terrible at it, because I have months when I just can't get it done, can't keep up, and I get frustrated, and then the next month will go by, so I'm just terrible at it. And so I tend to shy away from those things. The only one I have going right now is the Sarah Brazier sampler. And that really isn't a monthly thing. That's a keep plugging away till you get it done, or until the deadline for that to be entered in the drawing for an original sampler. And so I don't have a deadline thing. And when it's this, stitch this month, get this done this month, and then wait for next month. I can't. I'm terrible at dealing with that, and I'm always admire people who can do that. Well, you know, 3 days after the monthly entry is offered, yep, I'm all done. I'm ready for next month. And there were a number of people who were waiting with bated breath for the Linen and Threads Mystery Sampler 2019 to be introduced on New Year's Day. And then there were already, by the end of New Year's Day, at least a couple of people who posted that they had the January one done. Well, yeah, and I was not one of those. But I just a spur of the moment thing. This is a smaller one. This is a smaller one than they've had in the past. So a spur of the moment thing, I decided to do it. And I have, but I'm doing it all from stash. I'm not buying a single thing for it. So I had some 40 count platinum linen, have a yard of that, and it's with 3 inches on the side for framing. It's an 18 by 18 inch piece on 40 count. And so I said, all right, I think I'm going to do that, because I saw the center. You start in the center, and it's a peacock, and it's a really very nice peacock. It's well designed. It has a nice look to it. And so I thought, well, that's a fun start, right dead center to start with a peacock. So I was intrigued. And then, of course, you never know how that's going to build. So I thought, all right, I'm going to do this thing. And based on the last couple of years, they've been designs that if you do them in one color, that it's pretty straightforward, and the designs work very well. So I started digging through Stash to see, because it takes 7 skeins of DMC, is what the suggestion is, 7 skeins. So I thought, all right, do I have 7 skeins of any color? And turned out I have 6 skeins of a dark gray. I believe it's dark gray. I need to check with Marga to make sure it's dark gray, but I'm pretty sure it's dark gray. It's a color I like anyway, and I have no idea why I have 6 skeins of it. I have no idea whatsoever. I'll probably discover I bought it for some project and forgot, but it doesn't matter. So I have these 6 skeins. Oh man, I need a 7th skein. So I'm searching everywhere, hoping that I'd trip over another one. Didn't have it. But I did come across some overdyed thread that had been given to me, a bag of it. And in there were several skeins of grays, overdyed grays, and some of with a little bit of color to them. So I pulled those out, laid them on top of the linen, and came up with one skein that looked like it went with the others and will work and will make a nice combination. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stitch the peacock in the middle with this overdyed variegated thread. And I truly doubt that will eat up a full skein. It'll probably eat up, maybe not even half a skein. And if I have to go buy some more of the dark gray, fine. So I'm going to stitch that so that the peacock will have a different look, but will still fit in. And then everything else is going to be done in the, I believe it's 413 DMC. So everything else is going to be done in that one color. On this platinum linen, which is one of my favorites. Really, really like this linen. So 40 count, and it's 18 by 18. So that means that I can put it on Q-snaps, simple installation on Q-snaps, and have at it. So I'm going to set that up. That's also 18 by 18 on, probably end up on 16 inch Q-snaps, something I can fairly easily haul along on the road and keep up with. So that's going to be my challenge of the year is, can I keep up with the linen and threads mystery sampler every month without it getting in the way of my other stitching things, other things I want to do. So just spur of the moment thing. I have the threads, I have the cloth, I have everything I need. So I'm just going to go for it. And if I have to buy one more skein, I'll live. So, and that's unusual for me. But then on New Year's Day, I thought, all right, I'm going to cut this thread out or cut the linen out and put an edge on it, get the sewing machine out, put an edge on it, and I'm going to start stitching on New Year's Day. It didn't happen because I got it out, and this is where I've got to work on this. I have to work on this. It's a full yard of this linen. So that means I got to cut a piece off of it. And I got all bogged down in wanting to cut the linen precisely, the 18 by 18 piece, cut it precisely on my cutting board with my wheel cutter. And so I had this big piece of linen all spread out over my work table and was lining it all up and trying to get it just so. And I got bogged down, and then I was watching on Netflix Godless, Jeff Daniels' Godless thing. It's a Western, so I was hooked immediately. But it's exceptional, highly recommended. A little violent in spots, but highly recommend. Really, an exceptional 7-part series, and each one is like an hour and 15 minutes long. Each part, so it's a long one. So I was watching that I was going to get this cut out. I was going to get it put on Q-snaps, and I was going to try and get that peacock stitched on New Year's Day. And I got bogged down in this desire to cut this thing exactly right out of the gate. And I put it aside because I wanted to think about it a little bit. And so I started watching from the recliner. That was my big mistake, was I went to the recliner to watch A Little Godless while I pondered how I was going to cut this out. And I wasted the whole day, right up till 10:30 at night when I finished Godless. I just wasted the whole day, and it never got cut out. But then last night, after I was done watching TV, I thought, you know, I'm an idiot. What am I doing worrying about cutting precisely 18-inch by 18-inch piece with a wheel cutter? Just take the scissors and cut it. Just cut it, stay as close to square as you can, and cut it, because I'm going to go through and even up and square up the edges anyway. I'm going to pull off the threads until I get an even edge anyway before I put it on the sewing machine. So what am I doing? I'm wasting all this time trying to line everything up and get it so it's all squared up. And it's just a complete waste of time, and I was just all bogged down in that and never did get the thing mounted and stitched, and should have. And so I have to work on, take that piece of cloth, take the scissors, cut out the piece, even it up, put an edge on it, find the center, and go. And quit getting bogged down in all the little minutia and all the overthinking. And just get the stitching going. So after I record this thing and get it posted here on Wednesday night, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go cut that thing out, even it up, put the edges on, and get it mounted, and at least get a stitch in tonight. So, but that's just something I have to work on. If there's a goal, I need to just work on quit worrying about the minutia and get the thing started and sort it out later, because I really wasted a lot of time and mental energy on something that really just was irrelevant. So, yeah, a little look into my mind. And I just bogged myself down trying to get perfection out of the gate, and I really need to just go for it. So I've got to teach myself to go for it. So that's what's going to happen. So I'm all in here. I'm all in on the Linen and Threads 2019 Mystery Sampler, and I followed. I'm a member of the Facebook group, and there's an awful lot of people who get involved in this thing. So it'll be fun to see it develop. And it really is a great little peacock. If I never stitch anything else on it, I'll at least have a real nice peacock on a nice piece of linen. So I guess that's worth something. But take a look at that. Whether you do cross stitch or not, take a look at that, because it looks like we're off to a good start with that design. And then I was looking at and talking with Marga about what lies ahead. Of course, that's the other thing. What lies ahead for the new year? And what lies ahead in terms of travel? And pretty excited here. Got four trips planned that all have to do with needlework in one way or another. I'll be at the Nashville show in March. The Nashville show is just for shop owners and designers. Public can't go to it. But that's where most of the cross-stitch designers put together, aim their new designs for that show. It's a cash and carry show, so you can, as we talked about last year, you can go to your local needlework shop and order ahead of time, and they'll bring back the charts for you. They'll carry them out, and you get shop owners walking around with wagons and all kinds of things, and buying stuff, taking it with them. And of course, the goal for the designers is to haul a bunch of stuff to Nashville and not haul anything home. And then the opposite happens, and you get people like Kim Young at Sassy Jack's, who has her car so packed that she and her husband barely have room to sit in it. But that's the goal, cash and carry. So you can order the various things from your needlework store, your local needlework store, and then they'll bring them home. So that when they come back on, it's March 1st, you'd think I'd write that down. But anyway, when they come back, I think it's the weekend of March 1st. When they come back, then you'll be able to pick up whatever charts you ordered. And I'm going to, usually if you follow the designers, they start to talk about what they have and what they're going to introduce. But I'm going to try and put together a compilation, if I can get cooperation here, a compilation of what people are going to introduce at the Nashville market. I know I've had a brief conversation with Nicola Parkman of Hands Across the Sea, and she has several samplers that I was 4 or 5. I'm not sure. I'm probably dead wrong. But anyway, a good handful. She just introduced 2 and a good handful of others that she's going to introduce at the show. Last year, I think she had 4 or 5 last year. So it's a big target for her and a big target for just about everyone else. So I'm going to try and get together a compilation of what people are introducing this, so that you can kind of see them all in one spot, and that will help you order what you want ahead of time so that it comes back to your shop after the show. So we'll do that. And then also at that show, we're going to do videos like I did last year, where we go into each of the rooms, because they each get a room at an Embassy Suites, and they set it up basically as a little store, a little display shop. And so to go in and do video tour of what people are offering. So we're going to try and do that, and then they can talk more about, each of the designers can talk about what it is that they have. And many of them bring older designs, and so you get to see those too. And for a lot of these designers, the history that they have, there's an awful lot of stuff that maybe you haven't ever seen before. So I'm going to do some videos. Also hoping to do at least a podcast or two, maybe more, and do some audio interviews with people, maybe get some shop owners to sit down and talk about what they're doing, what they're looking for, what their customers are looking for. So have several things going on that I will try to post during the show, and then, of course, in the days afterwards. And that was very popular last year, the videos I did, very, very popular. Lots of people watched them, and they're still up on our YouTube channel. But going to try and do that again, because that was a lot of fun, and it was nice to meet all the different designers there and see all the things that they have. And there's a real mixture of designs of all types, primarily cross-stitch, but there's some needlepoint and some other types of stitching also. So looking forward to that in March. And then going back to Sassy Jack's for another Nicola Parkman presentation, Bathya. I haven't said it in so long, but it's Bathya, Bathya, is the design. It's the sampler that she's going to teach in 3 sessions, 3 2-day sessions between May 30 and June 4 at Sassy Jack's in Weaverville, North Carolina. I believe that's North Carolina. At Sassy Jack's. And that Bathya thing is amazing. And I'll put a link on WeTalkFiber.com along with this podcast for the video tour that Nicola and I did of Bathya. So you'll be able to see what it is she's going to be teaching. It's just an impressive sampler. It's one of those that if you're interested in samplers and have done very many at all, you definitely want this in your collection. And if you can get there and do the class with Nicola, it'll really be worth it. And plus, Weaverville is just a great town to go visit the countryside. Marg and I think are going to try and get in another day, extra day, rather than drive down and drive back, to kind of see the countryside and enjoy because the Smoky Mountains, that whole area, was the first time we went there was last year when we went to Weaverville, and we came back and both agreed we needed to throw in an extra day or two and get some tourism in. So if you can do that, just go to Sassy Jack's website. It's May 30 to June 4, so it's May 30 and June 1 is one class, June 2, no, I don't have that right. May 30 and 31, and then June 1 and 2 and June 3 and 4 are the 3 classes. And this time, last time that we were there, Kim shoved a lot of her displays off to the side to make room for the class. This time it's going to be different, and I got to believe infinitely better. She's right next door to a quilt shop. And so if you're a quilter, you can just go through this open archway from quilt shop to Sassy Jack's and spend money on both sides. It's dangerous if you do both. But above that is, Kim was telling me, is a large room that is all open for classes. And so they're going to be able to hold the classes for Bathya upstairs, and there's an elevator. and upstairs in that. And she said there's good lighting and lots of daylight, so there'll be a lot more room. It'll be a lot more comfortable, and she can take more people. And so there are 30 slots available for each of the three classes, each of the 3 2-day classes. There are 30 slots available, and check today with Kim, and there is room in each of those. So go to the Sassy Jacks website, and it look under classes, events, under events and designer classes, and you'll find the one for Bethiah. And you can sign up for that class at Sassy Jacks and with Nicola. So check that out, because if you're at all interested, it's just a stunning sampler. It really is, and really one to have in your collection. So check that out and sign up there. And like I said, just to go to Weaverville alone is a real nice trip. So there's that. And now as I'm talking about that, it seems to me, and I'll have this for you next week now. Now, it seems to me that Nicola was then going on to the attic to do a Bethiah class. Now, I got to check on that, and I'll have that for you next week, because I got to check and make sure that that's the case. So, you folks west of the Mississippi then could take it in. But I'll check on that and get the dates and have that. Or you can just check with the attic and see. But I hope I'm not misspeaking and that I'm correct and that Nicola is going to go on and do that at the attic. So I probably just opened a can of worms. I wish I hadn't. So be at Sassy Jack's. And then in April, Marga and I are going to go to Phoenix and spend a week and a half or so there. We've tended to do this every year because we enjoy it out there. So we're going to go there. And of course, I'd be a fool if I didn't go to the attic. So I will be at the attic at some point, and hopefully we'll be able to spend some time with Gene Lee and do a couple of video tours of some samplers and a podcast with her and some other things. Don't have any event assigned to that, but just to go to the attic and see Gene, who has now finished her chemotherapy, and hope that we'll be able to get a little of her time and do at least a video or two with Gene, just talking about samplers. And so we're going to try and do that, and that'll be in April. And then, and this one's already sold out, but then in August, I'll be at the New Jersey retreat, the one that Arlene Cohen of Works by ABC is organizing. I'll be there as a regular participant, but again, also planning to do some podcasts and video things there as part of that retreat, so that if you can't go because you didn't get in on the list, if you can't go, you'll at least get a sense to and an ability to vicariously enjoy the retreat as much as I can bring it to you. And as Arlene will, I will say again what Arlene has said, and that is to make sure, if you're at all interested in that retreat, the New Jersey retreat, to get on the waiting list, because things happen to people through the months, and they will back out. And she has expressed many times that if you get on that list, you never know. You might just be able to get in to the retreat. And that applies to any of these retreats, because I know a lot of them, these cross-stitch, floss tube-oriented retreats, will sell out, it seems like, within minutes, and certainly within days, will sell out. And you go, oh, geez, I can't get in on that one. But the advice is from Arlene, who has been to more than one, at least get on the waiting list. You'd be surprised how many times that you'll end up being able to go because people have dropped out and you moved up and then you get a slot. So I'll be there in August. So that gives me, what, 4 events so far where I'll be able to be out and meet people and do some videos and some podcasts and just talk about stitching and do some stitching with other folks. So looking forward to all that this year. Yeah, in addition to my business travel, hey, I'm never home. Might as well just keep going. So looking forward to that. And a couple of things that I have learned here in the last few days. I've tried a tip. I think I got it from originally from Trish Burr, but then I've heard it from a couple of others, that if you're stitching with multiple threads, multiple strands, so two strands, three strands, take one of the strands and reverse it. So you pull three off of take just DMC for example. You cut a length of DMC, and then you're going to use three strands to stitch. So you're going to have to lay them. And so you pull out three strands, take one of those and flip it end to end and put it with the other two, and then stitch with it. And the advice is that you'll find that the three strands will lay easier. They won't get bound up on each other. And you'll find that you get a better product with a laying tool with a good deal less hassle. I tried that on the Debbie Rowley's Glitz and Glamour Opal that I'm working on. There's a lot of open canvas, and one of the options is to fill that with three strands of silk. And I've been experimenting with different threads and finally decided to just go with what Debbie had recommended, because Debbie knows better than I do, and the thread she recommended, it lies flat, it recedes, and it fills in the gaps without taking away from visually the beautiful Jessica's and other stitches that she has put into the design. So I started, and I just been, as I go along, I've been stopping every now and then and just filling in sections with these three strands. So I thought, all right, this time I'm going to reverse one of the threads and see if that makes any difference. I didn't think it would. I thought it would just be just an exercise in flipping a thread and stitching with it, and that it would still be the usual laying of three threads hassle, which is not bad, but, you know, it's if it could be easier, nobody turned that down. By golly, I think it's a lot easier. I've had more than one instance where I've done a stitch where I really didn't need the laying tool. They just naturally laid because they can't go back to their normal twist. The twist that the threads, the strands are all put together with, they can't go back because one's in the way. And it really makes difference. And so that's my official new practice, is to flip one of the threads. So if it's three strands, just flip one. If it's two strands, obviously flip one. I think it makes a big difference. And so I've been finding it easier to lay these three strands and get them to look good with a lot less effort. And a lot of places in this design, the strands are three strands just over one cross of the needlepoint canvas. Well, that doesn't cover much of anything. But it's a lot of work to get those three to lay side by each over one crossing. Usually it's hassle, and a lot of times you just give up because you really can't see them anyway. But I'm able to get them to lay better over one, and then once you go over two or three or four, it really does lay quite nicely. So give that a try, flipping that one thread. If that's not what you already do, give it a try, and you might find that, I hope you find what I found, that they do tend to lay side by each easier, and the laying tool work is not nearly as tedious, I guess, or it's not nearly as much work. So it's worth a try, and it's my new thing, is to do that. And then the other tip, this one comes from Debbie Rowley, and now next week Debbie Rowley is our guest on Sunday. Debbie Rowley is our guest. Talk about that in a minute. And we mentioned the scissors. Scissors, and I should explain what that is. We mentioned use scissors for cutting metallics, and I realized when we got done with the conversation for next week's for Sunday's show, that I had asked her to there was something we were talking about, and I said hold on to that, we'll get back to that, and then we got off on another tangent and never got back to the scissors. So I had a conversation with her, and now I'm thinking, You'd think I'd remember all this stuff, but when she did the midweek show last week, I don't even think we talked about it then. But if we did, I apologize for the repeat, but if we didn't, then this is it. So what she has is some serrated embroidery scissors, and she was trying to find for me, so I could offer a link, the scissors she had purchased, and didn't have any luck. But then the discussion we were having, either in last week's or 2 weeks ago, the podcast, or separately, was, does it really matter? Just buy a pair of those cheap $6 or $7 embroidery scissors, the ones that I always recommend you take when you travel on an airplane. Buy a pair of those and use those to cut metallic threads rather than your $40, $50 Dovo scissors. Use those cheap ones to cut the metallic thread. And then when they get all hacked up and get dull, you just throw them away because, hey, it's America. We throw stuff away all the time. But just throw them away and get new ones. And you're not out that much money. And there's a good chance they'll last an awful long time, especially if you make a conscious effort to make your cuts up and down the blades. They'll probably last a good long time. But so that's what I've been doing. And now I got to go buy another pair to take with me when I travel. But for all my metallics, I just refuse to use my Dovo scissors, my really good scissors to cut metallics. Probably doesn't hurt them, but I'm not going to do it. And so I've been using these cheap ones, and they cut just fine. If the blade gets all hacked up, in the trash they'll go. But that was another tip, and Debbie and I talked about that. And concluded that was probably the best way to go was to just go get cheap scissors and don't bother with the don't bother trying to get some serrated ones that you'll be just fine with cheap ones for that work. So that's my new thing. So two tips for the new year. Two tips. One is reversing a thread to make them lay better, and then the other is to just use cheap scissors to cut metallic threads rather than your really good ones. Sunday, as I mentioned, our guest will be Debbie Rowley. Now, the reason you go, well, Debbie was just a guest. Well, yes, but Debbie is a guest this time because it's a special one, special podcast. Sunday will be our 100th podcast with a guest. 100th podcast with a guest, and so who to have for that 100th guest? Well, Debbie was our first guest. Because when we first started talking about doing this thing, I contacted Debbie and said, hey, would you be our first guest if we decide to do this podcast thing? And immediately she said, yes, be happy to do it. Well, several months went by as we diddled around and just didn't get to it. And when we decided to go, I contacted Debbie and said, hey, you mentioned that you'd be willing to do this. Are you still willing? Yes. So she was our first guest. So when we get to number 100, this is now podcast with a guest. There's 100. This is 80, our 82nd midweek show. So we've done 182 of them. But only 100 Sunday shows with a guest. Only 100. That's a lot. So Debbie Rowley joins us for that. And we just had a great conversation. Really did. About all about things that you have not heard in the last couple of shows with Debbie. All different things. So a great conversation with Debbie about that. So that's Sunday. And then also, as part of that show, Debbie every year designs an ornament. And she makes that ornament available to the people who are on her subscriber list. Well, she has been kind enough to also make it available to all of the FiberTalk subscribers. So what we'll do is if you are a subscriber, meaning you have signed up at wetalkfiber.com, if you are a subscriber, then you will automatically get a link to download the ornament that Debbie has designed. So you can download that, and I'll do a separate email mailing for that so that you can have that link. And then... And please keep it to yourself. I mean, this is a copyrighted thing, And there was another incident here just the other day where somebody posted that somebody on Pinterest or somewhere where was copying charts and selling them or giving them away. Yeah, giving them away, copying charts and giving them away. Please, if you download this thing, keep it to yourself. Don't copy it and send it to 100 people. This is copyrighted, designed by Debbie Rowley. She makes her living doing these designs. Respect her art, respect her talent, respect her contribution to needlework, and don't share it. Yeah, if somebody says, hey, can I have a copy of that? Tell them, go to wetalkfiber.com, give your name and your email address, and then, yes, they'll have a copy of it. That's all you have to do. So if you're already signed up, now, it has to be, you have to sign up at wetalkfiber.com because I'm just not going to chase around all the other places. So if you are a follower on Instagram or a subscriber on our YouTube channel, you're still going to have to go to wetalkfiber.com and add and subscribe. There's a form at the end of the podcast, of every podcast, so you can just give your name and your email address. You're going to have to go there because that's the only way I can efficiently do mailings. And then every time somebody subscribes, then I get an email, so then I can just forward you the link, and it's very simple for me and doesn't take up a lot of time that I don't have. So you're going to have to go there. All you have to do is give your name and email address. And one person a while back said, oh, she had signed up and then she canceled. And I wrote to her and said, oh, I'm really sorry you canceled. Was it, you know, was there some reason? Well, she didn't want spam. And I assured her that she was not going to get spam from us. So if you give me your email address, it's not going to get sold. It's not going to generate a bunch of spam. All it's going to do is it's going to get you notification on Wednesday and on Sunday of a new podcast. That's all it's going to do. Trust me, there's no way that it's going to give you spam because I don't have time. I barely have time to do these podcasts. I don't. I certainly don't have time to generate a bunch of spam for your inbox. So you don't have to worry about that. But if you want this pattern, this chart for the ornament, then sign up at wetalkfiber.com and you'll get a link to download the PDF for Debbie's ornament. And of course, getting that in January, then the pressure's on to have it done by next Christmas. No. But anyway, it certainly gives you enough time to have it done by Christmas and even enough time to get it done by Christmas and send it to Vonna and have her finish it before her deadline, which is going to move earlier in the year so Vonna can have some sanity in her life. So you'll have to stitch right away. But either way, our 100th show, our guest will be Debbie Rowley, who also did our first show. Tremendous conversation. And along with that, to celebrate 100 shows, will be a free copy of her latest ornament design. So really looking forward to sharing that podcast with you because it's a lot of fun. Debbie's always a treat to talk to. And then for you to be able to do that. And, of course, the milestone of 100 guests is pretty huge. And really excited that we've reached that milestone. So that's all I have. Wow. I figured I'd be done in 20 minutes. So much for that. Thanks for listening. And look forward to everybody hearing the show on Wednesday when we celebrate 100 guests.